Greetings, Church. Sabbath blessings to you all. I pray you've had a wonderful week and you're enjoying your Sabbath rest. Please join me on bended knee as we offer our prayer to the Lord. And for those that can't, just bow your heads, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Sabbath, the Sabbath truth. And we thank you for the gathering of all your children. Father, as we come to you, we ask that you may open our hearts, open your word to us, that we may understand the things that will cause us to go and be part of your kingdom. Father, as we continue to take part in this subject, teach us, Father, that we also may understand the character that is needed and the work that is needed to take part in. Father, we continue to thank you for bringing us together that we can share into your word, that we may go out and take part in the finishing work. Father, we thank you for thy Spirit, which continues to change the heart. We thank you for the entire plan of salvation, Father. We continue to thank you for the answered prayers, especially for this young one named Logan. Father, we know all things are in your hand, and you are in control of all things. And we continue to put all things in your hand as we offer these prayers to you. Bless us this day, Father, and we ask for this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Glad to be in our Father's house. And praise him for giving us our home church, where we can continue to come together and take part in this unique way in sharing his word. So last week, our title was The Kingdom of God, and we're going to continue in this subject. So welcome for part two of this subject on the Kingdom of God. And in reviewing from last week and last Sabbath, we came to this understanding of the very word kingdom, you know, when we broke it down from the Greek Strong's. In Hebrew, we saw that the Hebrew and the Greek meaning of kingdom has something to do with God's rule and reign. We saw John the Baptist, and then Jesus, how they began to preach this message in the New Testament to repent and to believe in the gospel or the good news, and that the kingdom of God was at hand. We should also have clarity that it's all about Christ and his righteousness. It is his love, his grace, and his righteousness that's going to allow us to enter his kingdom of glory through the surrendering of self, so that the Holy Spirit will begin a transformation starting at the heart. We also came to understanding that the time was fulfilled in Jesus Christ on all the prophecies concerning the Messiah, our Lord and Savior. And lastly, his word taught us the kingdom that was being preached was the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, and his righteousness. Now, looking further into Scripture, you will notice also Jesus. He sent his disciples to preach the very same thing in preaching the kingdom of God. So that's going to bring us to number one in the room. Okay? And for those that have their Bibles, you know, it's at Luke chapter 10, verse 1. We're going to also look at Luke chapter 10, verse 8 and verse 9. And below we're going to see it says here in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And in verse 2 it says, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And you also, when you'll see the very same thing when you see, when you look into Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. So the very act to which Christ came to do, he called his 12 disciples to perform the very same loving act in reaching the ones who needed Jesus' grace upon them. And now when we come to Luke chapter 10, verse 1, we'll see how Jesus later sends 70 disciples out. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. And in verse 8, it says, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are sent before you. Verse 9 says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Jesus now sends the 70 out to do the very same work in healing the sick, and to declare to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Jesus' very presence and power was at the forefront of all that they did. His power was with all whom he commissioned to preach the kingdom. Now moving forward, now we will see Jesus also taught to individual disciples. You know, I'm going through this to show you how this work just continues and continues, and it boils down to his last day church, you know, and this is what we need to continue to do. And number four, looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 59, 60, 61, and 62, it says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home, at my house. And Jesus said unto them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When you read this passage, it is clear upon the instructions the Lord gave to the two individuals that we should not delay upon His work. We should never put God second over our earthly matters. To delay His work is to say, my work comes first. You're saying His work is less important. You must put aside all your personal matters and put the mission of Christ first over your earthly desires. Don't allow personal feelings to be of such great importance when in laboring to win souls for Him. Can you imagine your personal feelings being magnified before the interests of God's work? Think on that question. Would you be willing to make such a small sacrifice of self, of personal feelings for Jesus? Our Lord is not saying to forsake your family, but to put His work first and then tend to personal matters later. We need to be not self-centered in laboring for His cause, where personal feelings trump His work. Put aside personal feelings for God. Put them also aside for His church. Do you believe that He gives His church authority through Him, you know? Or else, Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. You have to lay these things aside and do the work for the Lord. Now, Jesus taught after His death and His resurrection. And number 5, at chapter 1, verse 3, it says, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And also at chapter 8, verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And also Acts chapter 5, verse 16, it also says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. So after Jesus' ascension, the very work and grace went forth in preaching and in healing everywhere. Jesus' very acts were now being repeated by His future subjects of the kingdom. The disciples and apostles went out everywhere doing the very will of the Lord. Church, pray that His will is done in you. Be part. Be one of those subjects of His kingdom. Also notice the scripture tells us that on a certain occasion, Paul would continue to expound on the kingdom from morning to evening. And we're going to read this from Acts chapter 28, verse 23, where it says, And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So you could see their mind was on Jesus. That's what Scripture says, keep this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. So we see the work continuing through the disciples and the apostles, and that it did not end with Christ's ascension, but continues in all the world in order for the end to come. We saw last Sabbath some verses where Jesus spoke about the kingdom being spiritual. So So let's seal this understanding shut by looking further into a couple more verses. Below in John chapter 3, we will see, and we'll begin to see, a Pharisee named Nicodemus privately seeking the attention of having a discussion with Jesus in secret. Nicodemus believed Jesus was only a teacher sent from God, and not the long-awaited Messiah. And in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and at number 9 in the room, we'll see the discourse, and it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus shares to Nicodemus that we all have a physical birth when we come into this world. But in order to be a partaker of the kingdom of God, one needs a spiritual birth. A spiritual regeneration must take place in order to have a new heart. The heart being made brand new is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It begins at the heart. It is not through lineage of a nation of Israel or by visiting a sacred mountain at a sacred wailing wall, nor is it by helping to rebuild a sacred temple in Israel that will call us forth to be closer to his kingdom. No. A spiritual birth is not by being well learned of the law either, and gathering wisdom, nor is it by strictly keeping the commandments yourself, but it's through the changing of one's heart that will allow you to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his glory, church. The Holy Spirit transforming the old character into a new creature is what is needed. The natural man cannot discern the things of God. You gotta remember that. As the carnal mind is enmity against God. We must realize that we must be born again and to separate from sin. This is what separates us from God. It is sin. As our Father will have nothing to do with sin. Sin cannot stand in his presence. His divine spirit purifies the heart. It purifies the mind. We need to humbly pray, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And that was taken from Psalms 51, 10, and 11, at number 10 in the room. The Holy Spirit will allow your thoughts to come into obedience with Christ Jesus. By this changing of heart and mind to the very image and character of our dear Savior Jesus Christ, this is how our dear Savior writes his laws upon our hearts and mind. By walking in the Spirit and keeping his law. The only way is you got to walk in the Spirit to keep his law. You can't do it yourself. His law by doing so, this will fit us not only to finish his work, but will fit us to be partakers of the kingdom of glory by doing the very will of God. Christ, our righteousness. We will begin to sing in our new heart, as Psalms 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Empty yourselves of self. Put aside all your personal feelings. Again, put them aside, that his spirit will transform you into a new creature. You will not, church, you won't dwell on the earthly things and the earthly matters anymore. You will dwell on heavenly things. And it will be known by the things that you say every day and the actions in which you do daily. Pray that prayer of Psalms 40 verse 8. Now let's look at another occasion when some women brought their children to Jesus. That's going to bring us to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Okay? And we're at number 12 in the room, for those who are following along. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should not touch them. I'm sorry, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Well, first off, we see Jesus was displeased by his disciples' actions in rebuking the mothers that brought those children to receive a blessing from Jesus. The disciples thought that they were doing our Lord a favor by rebuking those mothers, you know? But their lack of understanding, the disciples, their lack of understanding, they did not discern for such is who Jesus came for, those children. Today, when we offer our prayers for our children, we know through faith he has the power to bless, just as Jesus blessed those that came for a blessing in Mark chapter 10. Are not mothers today to continue in offering their children to Jesus? Fathers also, okay? Yes. We have a responsibility to ask for his divine grace and protection upon our children even before they can walk or even before they can speak. Those children that were brought to him, as well as ours today, are the ones that will be heirs and subjects of his kingdom of glory. Jesus came for them. Jesus came for us. You see, children are not as pompous to the world as we adults are. Many adults have been conformed and influenced by the world and by the worldly things. Little children are teachable and are easier humbled. This way you have to humble yourselves as a little child. How else will you learn? How else will the Spirit bring these things to you? It is our Christian duty today to give our children all possible advantages of the lessons of his divine word so that they are educated in the spiritual things of God. Plant the seeds of truth that over their Christian walk, their fruit will ripen to be fit for the kingdom of glory. We need to offer those prayers that they will be trained up to form characters that reflect the very image of our dear Savior. Children are not to be neglected, parents. And the children don't have to be from your offspring for you to aid in this work. You're an adult. You're the example for these children if Christ is in you. If. You got to teach them. Our very children will be part of that kingdom when Jesus comes in all his glory. And yes, some will give their life for his cause. And you will have a responsibility in bringing forth such blessings to him by training them up to be servants for his cause. You'll have a part of that. Blessed are they. As Jesus reflected his Father when he came, shouldn't his character be reflected in us that our children may see Christ alive in our daily walk? Be patient with them. And as Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You have to humble yourselves like a little child. You have to be teachable. And we have to show those things to our children while they're young. Parents, reflect Christ in your daily life for your children to see. Just as Jesus reflected his Father's character for us to see the type of loving character that's needed to be fit for his kingdom. It is a precious thing to behold the transformation of character in the little ones as they grow. So it would be said of them, of such is the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, let's take a look at a parable spoken by Jesus himself. It's taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. And that brings us to number 14 in the room. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Church, we have a merchant man in Jesus who gave all that he had in his own life for us. What great love the Father gave, who put every divine resource in his precious Son's hands for all humanity. Jesus purchased us. He bought us with a price. That great price was the life of our dear Savior, Jesus, the Father's only begotten Son, the self-existent Son of God. Our dear Savior willingly gave his life that we may have this opportunity today, to seek his kingdom. Jesus saw us as precious pearls. Treat your bodies with care, knowing that they were bought with his blood. The lost humanity is this one precious pearl. Receive him by faith so heaven sees us as precious pearls fit for his kingdom. As our Lord gave all that heaven could give, where is our gratitude? Are we not to represent his character in utilizing all the resources he gives so that we can labor for his cause? Remember, when you claim to be a Christian, you are to represent his character. Those lost sheep are like precious pearls in the eyes of the Lord. As a Christian, you are commissioned to help purchase them by becoming a co-worker with our dear Savior. Deny self, so his character is shown in doing all to the glory of God. By surrendering to his will and giving and receiving the Lord in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, you too can become a merchant man. You see, there is a duality in this parable, just as there are other dualities in other scriptures and parables. You, the Christian church, can be a merchant man. You can be a merchant man also in doing the very work heaven did for us. The only way to do so is to give your heart, give your mind, give your soul, give your body to our dear Savior, Jesus. You see, also, Jesus is also the pearl of great price. This is the duality here. Seek Jesus, church. Christ's righteousness is like a white pearl without a blemish, without a stain, and without any defects. You gotta seek him. Jesus is without flaw. In surrendering all that you have to him, Christ will give to each and every one of us here the resources of heaven. He will give to us himself the pearl of great price. Again, I will say, if you are a Christian, then you represent him in reaching the fallen souls of humanity when you share to them the love of Jesus Christ. Some today are still looking for that heavenly pearl, but it's because they refuse to surrender all. That's A-L-L, all. To surrender some and not all can cause you to fall short of this kingdom. Remember the word says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, where it says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, because if you're saying, Lord, Lord, you're already a Christian. You already recognize him as your creator. And you believe you're saved. But Jesus says, his very word says, they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the ones that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Strive daily in doing his will, that you will be fit to be a jewel in his kingdom. Malachi 3:17 says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. That was from Malachi, chapter 3, verse 17. In closing, church, I want us to reflect on the scriptures from Numbers 15 down through 21. Church, I pray, as we've gone through and gone over a few more verses on this subject, on the kingdom of God, that you've drawn a little closer to His divine word, and that you're a little more connected to what a new birth is needed by His divine spirit. This is a very important subject, and as time progresses and He allows us to discern more on this subject in the following months, and as we humble ourselves, you will see the more you learn in His word, the more blessings He will pour in transforming the heart. It's the humbling effect of the precious gift of His word. His word will humble you. Drawing close to His word is a miracle itself. I'm going to tell you why I'm sharing this subject. I'm sharing this subject as to show you how the entire Godhead is needed in the plan of salvation. By denying just one part of the Godhead, you might deny your salvation. There is no other name under heaven given among men but Jesus only, by which you are saved. Jesus gave the greatest act of love in laying down His life for every one of you listening in this room, on the radio or on the phone. Please don't grieve away the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. To speak against the Holy Ghost, it will never be forgiven you in this world, neither in the world to come. Our word says that. Our divine word says this. Church, God has provided the best heaven could offer in His Son, that we can never say we had no chance. Our Father has given the greatest gift to purchase us. Our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Join Him by surrendering all, I mean all, that He may dwell in you, and that His will be accomplished in you, that through Christ you may be heirs according to the promise, and the apple of His eye. God bless you. May your rest this day be filled with His wonderful love. God bless, Church.
If you could please kneel. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for changing the showbread on Sabbath. Thank you for blessing us with the truth, especially this late in everything, in time and history. Thank you for blessing us with the remainder of the Sabbath day. Thank you again for answered prayer and for keeping the hedge of angels around Logan and blessing everyone on the prayer list. And thank you for letting us take part in that kingdom, your kingdom. Bless our faith, our discernment, our wisdom, our character. And bless us with the latter rain, Father, so that the signs may follow your people and you are glorified. And again, we thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.